caviar, even jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got a lot on the table today, I tell you that. A lot of stuff on the table, a lot of it good stuff, a lot of it, some of it intense, others of it not so intense, but man, oh man, do we have some good stuff. I want to do this right off the bat. Connor or Jared, whoever's pulling the string back there, I just sent you a picture, and all it says on it is resized. Pull that picture up, because I want everybody to be able to see this. I didn't ask for permission. By the way, hey! Protect the Flock with a Glock t-shirts now in stock. Man, it's been forever getting those things ordered, right? There you go. Get yours. I've had people email me all the time. Coach, when are you going to get those in? Got them in now. Got them in, all right? Now listen, we are going to, I hate to do this, all t-shirts are now $20. I don't know what our prices were before. I think they were $15 or something like that. By the time we mail them and all that, we're not making any money. So we're not trying to make money, but we sell t-shirts to help fund what it is that we're doing. And folks, listen, we're heading to Branson. You know, we're going to talk about that here in a second. We're going to have some expenses on that. If you can't go, please go online and help us with that. Help us with those expenses that we have coming up. We got a good crowd coming into Branson. I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But we need you to help us pay for that trip that we're having out there. Is the picture ready to go? Let me come down there. Look at this. See if it's up there. Randy Lunsford's first ever grandbaby. I hope he doesn't mind that I'm showing this little beautiful little thing all across the world. I'm looking here because Randy, daggone, I hate phones. Daggone it, quit it. Okay, hang on here a minute. Hang on there. This is, there's more pictures, but this little baby is Tegan Claire Lunsford, 6 pounds, 7 ounces, and she's perfect. And look at her staring her grandpa down. Huh? She says, "Who is this dude?" And Randy said, "My Lord." Because nothing changes you more than when you look in the eyes of that first grandbaby, or the second grandbaby, or the third grandbaby, or whatever. So God bless you, Randy. God bless you, man. Welcome to the world of grandpa-ship or whatever it is. Well, tell us about it, Randy. What'd that feel like, brother?
Well, it is. It's hard to describe when you see them come and then they look at you like she did. I mean, we connected. I'm telling you, what a connection.
And you know, Randy, as a lot of people in here can tell you, nobody has, I'm just telling you, the grandfather grandchild connections like none in the world. And we have to do everything we can to try to cultivate those things and help those things come. You'll have many opportunities to build into the life of your grandkids. And that is so critical and so important that we do. So, Randy, didn't want to give you top billing right here at the show, but man, oh man, oh man. What?
That is Coach, you said, well, that if this doesn't help you fight, nothing will. And that's so true. That is so true, Coach. If we don't want to lay our life down now for them, well, there's something wrong with us. We're awful selfish.
Well, there is. There is. Randy, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and tell your kids have more of them. Folks, we need more babies. We need more babies. Let's have more babies. Told my wife I wish we'd had 30 of them. She couldn't have handled it. I mean, we couldn't have handled it, but I wish we'd had 30 of them. Hey, Chad, give us a full report, man. How did things go out there this weekend at the Texas Salt and Light Brigade? Have babies, not dogs, Polly said. Yes, have babies, not dogs. I'll maybe make a bumper sticker out of that. Chad, wake up. That's your big cue.
Well, I was waiting for you to quit talking about dogs already. Okay, so we had a great weekend. Good turnout and stuff. And so awesome. I mean, awesome fellowship. You know, it's just priceless to just Man, it's just so needed. We have some more new people show up again, so it was great, and you know, they fit in, and we'll see if they return and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it was really encouraging all weekend long. So it was very powerful. We studied Job this weekend, and of course did some other, you know, stuff like that, you know. So it was just really powerful. And that just, we have our big event coming up next month at the last weekend of September. So if you'd like to come, please RSVP. I'm kind of making a new policy that if I don't have any information from you, I'm stopping you and I'll turn you away, because I just have to vet people just to make sure that we're not having any problems. I just need to know everybody that's coming.
Hey, Chad, how many of these things have you had now? How many do you suppose you've had?
I don't know, maybe a 20 or so.
Unbelievable. But hey, Chad, they can do it right where they live. Not everybody has an Estes Ranch, a place like you have, but you can find a place. You can find a place to get people together. It doesn't have to be a long weekend like Chad does. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday morning. Sometimes you can't get them out of there Sunday afternoon. You don't have to do that, folks. I'm telling you, you can do just a one afternoon, just a one day thing. You can do Saturday start at 10 o'clock and be done at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, and get people together for safety.
Well, every town, Dave, every town has a city park, and you can meet there, and you guys can have a picnic, you can talk, and you can throw frisbee, whatever you're going to do. You can do some stuff, you know, and you just adjust your activities based on their location.
And so, Chad, those who would say, "God, I don't have any talents, I don't have any skills, I don't know what I would do, I can't organize something like that," what would you say, Chad?
So everybody's got something to share, you know, and then you don't have to run the whole thing by yourself. You know, I'll be willing to help you. Dave will be willing to help you, and then you'll have people attending that, you know, everyone's going to give you some grace. So but you need to have a basic itinerary. If you've organized a birthday party, if you've organized Thanksgiving dinner, you can do this.
Amen. Get people together. Get them to know each other. It's very, very simple. We'll talk about that more later on. Bless you, Chad. Thanks for doing that. Got a lot done this week, this last week at Sky High. Bob and Tammy. Bob Evans went home and came back and brought Tammy with them. They continue to work. That place is looking remarkable. We got a lot of work to do, folks. And yes, we are going to do some type of capital campaign, and have to raise some funds. I appreciate all of you giving donations. My buddy Rodney, he brought us a ladder by. He took me out to lunch. I guess it was breakfast. We ate it kind of late. We got some, just a lot of stuff, man, that people are doing and pitching in and helping us with. And Mark's been giving it great direction, and oh my, a lot of great stuff. I don't want to bore y'all with it. I'll get a video together so you can see exactly what it is that's going on. Okay. Let's see. Branson. We're going to go to Branson this weekend. Hey, Connor or Jared, whoever, get that video up. We need to talk about that paywall here at some point too, how people can get in. The video on the Equal Justice Tour video that you sent me that yesterday, Jared, you said you could maybe have that thing ready to go. If you don't have it ready to go, just say, "Coach, I don't have it ready to go yet," and I'll move on to something else. We don't. I'm looking down here.
Yeah, we go. We'll get it in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. We're going to have it. This is the paywall behind, by the way. This is the paywall. This is a video that was put together by, it's a song written by Ken Hall, and just a bunch of pictures of when we went to Chappaqua. And this is just to try to encourage all of you to get out to Branson this weekend. We need you there, man. We need you there. Please try to come if you're close at all. We'll have a great, great time together. Okay, here comes the video. I'm sorry, I should have given him more notice. Ken Hall wrote and sings this song, and this is just some pictures from when we were there last time. This is what will happen when you come to Branson as well. Go ahead, Connor.
They walked tall and held the line.
They walked tall and held the line.
They gave the people peace of mind, because they stood for what was right and held a lantern in the night. When it came down to a fight, good guys always won. I know the movies didn't always show the way it really was, but they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be. It's time that we the people stood up to shout, where's that justice for all? Thought Lady Justice was blind, and we're all equal under the law. Thought it didn't matter rich or poor, politician or man at the door, that we still see the traitors demanding. We've all seen it on every station. It's like we have an infestation of ticks and leeches, just bleeding us dry. We elect them to protect our rights, but they spend more time just trying to start fights. Fight and conquer, better think twice. I know the movies didn't always show the way it really was, but they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be. It's time that we the people stood up to shout, that justice for all. Thought Lady Justice was blind, and we're all equal under the law. Thought it didn't matter rich or poor, politician or man at the door, that we still see the traitors demanding. Show the way it really was, but they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be.
Just regular people, just regular people getting out. Look at Don Voss, came all the way from Wisconsin, and people came from everywhere. Hey, folks, come on, man. Help us. Help us get involved. Help us make a difference. We're going to go to Branson this weekend. We're going to have a repeat of what we just did there, and we need about $1,000. We need $1,000. So that's 20 of you giving 50. Please help us out there a little bit. Cool. Anybody want to say anything about that trip or anything? Come on in here now. Speak now or forever hold your peace. I'm heading somewhere today, trying to get through the little house cleaning here on Monday morning. Anybody? Okay, cool. I'm going to show you something here. Hey, I want to, Rob Pugh. I click on it, says Rob Pugh. Rob Pugh just wrote an unbelievable commentary. Rob's writing at newswithhughes.com. Rob, I'm not going to take time to read it all. Well written and catching some crap over it. This is our last chance. Rob writes regularly. He has his own radio clip that he does with VCY America. Rob's all over the place and doing a wonderful job. This is worth reading. This is our last chance. I want to salute you, Rob, for all the work that you do. Mike Heath, Mike, I'm enjoying your show more. You write a commentary every day. Bobby Lee making those videos. Larry doing his news show. Chad doing all Chad does, making videos. I'm forgetting somebody. It always happens. Always happens. But we got a lot of people doing a lot of great stuff out there, and I just want to acknowledge all of you. That's the thing. I said to Michelle after Bob and Tammy went home, I said, my goodness, we are getting guys in the game. I'm not bragging. We are getting people in the game who've never been in the game and so blessed by it. Sue Knapp, I know, Sue, you want to go to Branson. Contact me, Sue. We'll make arrangements. And Rob is, where's Robert? I'll get a hold of him as well. We'll be able to join up together and be able to go. Can I show you something else? Anybody for the go to the group? Anybody got anything you want to say? I'm going to show you a couple things here. Thanks to Polly and Mike for all the hard work they do. Gary Pierce, he's working his tail off. Mark Trump lives and breathes this stuff. Thank God for Mark Trump and everything that he's doing to help us out. I had the most unbelievable thing. I say that a lot. This is the most unbelievable thing. I got to take a couple minutes to just share this with you. I went to my wife and I went to an estate sale. We went on Saturday afternoon because estate sales, usually when you go to those things, they are half price Saturday afternoon. So we came sweeping in. I wanted to get some tools and things for up at Sky High, and this advertiser had some tools. So we went there, and then when we were there, we're going out the door, somebody said, hey, there's another one just down the road over here about 2 miles. You might want to go over and check it too. And so we went over to this other estate sale, and it'd been pretty much picked through, to be honest with you. There wasn't a whole lot of stuff there. And as I was walking out the door, Connor, let's get ready for all those pictures I sent you. Jared, you know what I'm talking about there? I know you do. And Connor, get ready.
Yes, sir.
If you can, Jared, get all those pictures. I'm going to tell you which one. The first one I want you to get ready is I want you to just click on what's called the pronunciation Bible, and it says the price. I was standing right over in the corner. I was getting ready to leave, and this book caught my eye. It was a Bible, but it was more than a Bible. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before. The title on it was the pronunciation. Jared's going to pull it up here, get it up on the screen. The Pronunciation Bible, Pronunciation Edition of the Holy Bible, Old and New Testament. So bear with me. Stay with me here a second. Now, this has a cover on it. Michelle's going to take it to the bindery today. This book was published in 1900. What they call the backbone to it is really, really good. The cover's beat up and worn. I'll show you all that here in a second. But there was a price tag on it, $25. And then it said half off of that because it was Saturday afternoon. So I paid $12.50 for this pronunciation Bible. Jared, just go to the next picture if you can, because I want people to, I'm telling a story here as we go. It's an illustrated thing. It's folks, listen to me. This Bible is 1,695 pages. It weighs 10 pounds with these absolutely unbelievable illustrations. This is Moses in the Ten Commandments. There's the Bible. Look how thick that thing is. Look at those snaps they have on the front of it. This pronunciation Bible, $12.50. I bring it home. It's full of all kinds of things. Every word in the Bible, how to pronounce every word in the Bible. Jared, go to the next picture. That's what it looks like. As I said, Michelle's going to take it and have it bound today. Look at this. This blew me away. This is all the denominations in the world. Hey, Connor, let's use this one last. I want to come back to this one, because this one blew my mind, okay? Go to the next picture, and then we'll come back to this one. So I get this Bible home. I jump on the internet. There's Moses again. Beautifully colored pictures. The interior of this Bible is absolutely I mean, it's perfect inside of it, all of it. Like it hasn't even been used. Is there another picture, Connor? There's one's upside down. I'm sorry, I took the picture the wrong way. This is another painted illustration. 1900! This is Moses. They're discovering Moses in the bulrushes. These kind of pictures are all throughout the thing. 1,695 pages. Go to the next one. Connor, if you can. $12.50. $12.50. Okay, Connor. Let's go back to the one I said. Let's use it last. Nope. There. This blew my mind. Folks, this blew my mind. And I hate to throw this up here, and I'm not even going to talk about it. Hey, I went online, and I found one of these for $715. $715. I got it for $12.50. But I want you, this blew my mind. Are you ready, folks? This is on what page? I don't know what page it is. This started out with denominations. There's a section in on the denominations of Christianity. 1900, okay? 1900. By the way, it also has a glossary of every term that would ever be found in the Bible. I hate to tell you this. You want me to tell you this or not? Okay, I'm going to tell you. I looked it up. Rapture, not in the glossary. Nowhere in the glossary. Catching away, nowhere in the glossary. No such word in this 1900 dictionary. They have every type of word. Now, look here. This is what blew me away. The general subdivision of religions of the world is distributed very nearly in the following proportions. 1900, these are the total Christians. Okay, Christians, 405 million Christians in the world. Jews, 7,500,000. Muslims, Mohammedans, 160 million. Buddhists, 350 million. Pagans, 200 million. Other Asiatic religions, $257,500. But see, you just missed the most unbelievable statistic, and I'm not going to get into the depth about it because you're going to call me names. In 1900, there were 7,500,000 Jews in the world. In 1900, 7,500,000 Jews in the world. This ain't forged. This isn't, what's that thing? It doesn't matter. Folks, 7,500,000 Jews in the world. Go back, Connor. Because here it is. Can somebody explain to me how 6 million of them died in Germany? That's all I'm going to say. I'll let you figure the rest out. So, Connor, go to the Pronunciation Bible, the price, so you guys don't think I'm crazy. Michelle's taking this to the bindery today. They found a place in Columbus that will do it. That's right, Kevin. 40 years later, 6 million of them died, right? Huh? In Germany. They were all in Germany and died in Germany? Uh-oh, I'm making some of you nervous. That's okay.
Which image, Coach?
The one that says the Pronunciation Bible price. It's not an image. It's on the stuff I sent you. The Pronunciation, so you guys don't think I'm lying to you. There it is. Pictorial Bible, the Pronunciation Edition, the Holy Bible, Kennedy Authorizing. That's the one that I have. How much is that worth, it say? $719.99 for $12.50. Now, here's the great thing. I'm getting this thing restored, and it's going to go in a prominent place at Sky High. When you walk in, there's going to be the Pronunciation Bible open. It's the most fascinating thing. I got buried in it this weekend looking at it. There's the cover of it. And then there's a PDF version of it online as well. Unbelievable. I've done all the talking. Before I dive into some heavy-duty stuff, anybody got anything you want to say? Hey, pull that in there. Go back there to that picture. There. Can you enlarge that? This book is full and full and full of pages like this. Illustrations, what this term meant, what that term meant, pictures to show you what it looked like, a Galilean palm tree, Galilee, it tells you where Galilee was. Pages and pages and pages of biblical definitions and words, and oath. So it says at the top what an oath is. I'm sorry, we can't enlarge it more. That's okay. What a find.
Hey, Coach, is that published by Rose Publishing?
Boy, Randy, that's catching me. I don't know.
Why do you ask? Well, I'm pretty familiar with them. They're a really good publisher.
To think it was done in 1900 and the quality of the pictures. Now, they were illustrations, right? Go back to that picture. How they got the quality of that picture in that. Here's it published by, does it say? Range and parallel columns. Got the Old and New Testament. Professor S.W. Williams, a complete concordance. Margin references, chronological tables, a history. If you want to know something, for instance, let's say I heard about Gideon, but who was Gideon? Well, there'll be a section in there that tells you who Gideon is and what Gideon did. Well, hey, I heard about somebody threw out a name. I heard about Moses. Oh yeah, well, there's a section that tells you all about Moses. I mean, it's wow, pretty amazing, pretty amazing. Let's go here. Equal justice fans, you ready? I'm getting off that old Bible now. I'm gonna get that thing together and let all of you see it. Miss Prison. Connor, it says Miss Prison. I'm back to stuff again now. Miss Prison. You guys sitting down? This is 18 U.S. Code number 2382, Miss Prison of Treason. This is the Cornell Law Dictionary. All right? Connor, can you make that bigger? Whosoever owing allegiance to the United States. By the way, who would that be? Would anybody, let me ask you this quickly. Owing allegiance, we all owe allegiance to the United States, but would somebody lays their hand on a Bible and swears an oath? Would that be owing allegiance to the United States? I think so.
I think that would qualify.
Okay, whoever owing allegiance to the United States and having knowledge of the commission of any treason against them. So I'm an elected official. I'm in the Congress, and I know what Hillary did. You with me? Having knowledge of the commission of any treason against them, conceals and does not, as soon as may be, disclose and make known the same to the president or to some judge of the United States, or to the governor, or to the judge or justice of a particular state, is guilty of misprison of treason and shall be fined under the title of imprisonment not more than 7 years or both. What does that mean, Roger? Because this is a Cornell Law School Informational Institute, misprison of treason.
Means we don't practice it anymore.
It means every one of those elected officials that have any knowledge of what it was that Hillary did and Obama did, have any knowledge at all, they have to, they're 7 years in prison.
Amen.
For them.
Hey, what about the officers we turned over the affidavits to? Are they, I mean,
they own allegiance
to this, we need to let a governor or judge or justice know.
But, you know, this includes President Trump also. It does not give him any right to hide. All of them. They're all included. All of them. They can all be put in prison right now.
How do we arrest them without somebody picking it up and trying it? How do we arrest them?
That's why I went ahead and reached out to Josh Hawley. That's what that's about. But you see, this has to be done through the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, we're the vessels to do it, but we follow what the Holy Spirit brings to us. And the Holy Spirit brought to me to reach out to an officer of the court. That is Josh Holly. This is Roy Bossard or something. His name, I sent it to Polly. She then went ahead and sent it to somebody else in the state of Missouri.
Folks, do you understand the significance of this? Do you understand how many people are hiding information? I'm going to read this again real slow so we get it. Whoever owing allegiance to the United States. Now, hang on. Ocasio-Cortez. She's created treason. Does anybody know why she's created treason? Because she took an oath to uphold the Constitution. And she wants to change the Constitution. She didn't take an oath to change it. She took an oath to uphold it. She wants to do away with the Electoral College. Not only that, well, there's a lot of reasons. Whoever owing allegiance to the United States and having knowledge of the commission of any treason against them conceals, if Hillary worked with the Russians, it's treason. Who knows that? Conceals and, hey, Polly, this is good for equal justice tour, by the way. Conceals and does not as soon as may be, does not as soon as may be disclose and make known what you know, make it to the judge, president, or to the judge, or to the governor, or a judge in your state, is guilty of misprison of treason and shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 7 years or both.
Hey, Coach, we've done that. And I think everyone, even Comey did that. Comey's not guilty because he disclosed it. It's up to the president or these judges to act according to this. So we've already done that. We have reported it. So we're not guilty of misprison. Neither is Comey. He reported it.
Hey, Mark.
Yep.
He reported some of it.
Some of it. But the point is he reported it, and it's a judge and the president who's not doing it.
Okay.
The thing here is that you need an officer of the court. So Comey could have been the person to do it. He refused to do it. Send him to jail. It needs to be an officer of the court that brings the indictment. The affidavits that we have, they're not actionable because they're not being moved by a officer of the court. That goes back to Roger. He'll explain it to you.
Yes, Victor. However, everybody we gave that information to is guilty of misprison of treason. Every one of them.
Correct.
Well, Dave, except for the state police department who pushed it on to the federal or the corruption unit, right? That's they pushed it on up, right?
They did. But everybody else that we gave it to have ignored it. They've ignored it. Okay, let me show you another one here. Roger, I hope you're sitting down. Connor, this simply says lawyers. Because these two things go together in my mind. Okay. Sorry, Roger. Hate to do this to him publicly. The missing 13th Amendment. No lawyers are allowed to serve in public office. Make this bigger if you can. Article 13. Now, lawyers aren't going to get this because lawyers are lawyers. I don't know if you can't make that bigger. I want everyone to read it. This is a great article to read, by the way. It says, if any citizen, Article 13 of the Amendments to the Constitution, okay? If any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or return any title of nobility or honor, or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept or retain any present pension, office, or emolument of any kind whatever from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office or trust or profit under them or either of them. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything, Coach? What is the Bar Association? Does anybody know what the Bar Association is? The Bar Association is an allegiance to a foreign power, prince, or king. Bar Association. Sorry, Roger. We're not going to throw you out. You just can't run for public office. Actually, here it says you're not a citizen of the United States. Let's go back to the article itself. This was fascinating to me. This has been hidden. And we all know that the problem, I wonder if Congress tells us.
David, yes. I'm just very satisfied that it was the lawyers and a group of farmers that formed the greatest document in the world to lead a nation. So I'm satisfied with that.
All right, just don't run for office, Roger. So anyway, we'll make this available that you can read. This is a covert plot that altered the U.S. Constitution, exposed conspiracy to subvert the American Revolution. I'm not going to take time to read it, but some pretty thick, heavy stuff. See, listen, just like I found out in this pronunciation Bible, folks, things have been changed. Evil men have crept in. Go to Jude. Go to the book of Jude. Connor, go to the book of Jude. This applies in every area, aspect of our lives, my friends. Beloved, verse 3, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We still need to do that. Why? For there are certain men crept in unawares. Now, this not only happened in the Bible, this happened in the Constitution, the 13th Amendment, the 17th Amendment. They changed, they crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So these evil men got in positions of power and have undone a lot of good stuff. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're dealing with. And as I found in that pronunciation Bible, we're being taught things today that were not taught in 1900 in regards to the Bible. And we're not even aware of it. Amen. Somebody come on in here. I feel like I'm alone other than Roger defending himself. Jared, click on Kim Davis at the very, very bottom.
Well, Dave, another term you look at is sedition. Sedition.
Sedition. We'll look at it in a second here. Let me make this very clear. Just so I'm gonna out myself. I'm gonna come out of the closet. I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe in a rapture. I believe in a catching away. I believe in Jesus returning in the clouds and the saints going, I believe that. Okay? I believe. But the argument over that we're fighting over in Christianity is, when does that occur? And as Rob Pugh would tell you, are you in here, Rob? Yeah, you're in here. Wake up, Rob. Wake up, Rob, because in that commentary that you wrote, you came out and said that you didn't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. What happened, Rob, when you did that? Rob, I see you're in the queue. There you are. What happened, Rob, when you did that?
Hello.
What happened when you did that, Rob?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, well, there was just a huge backlash. That's all. I would say 50% of the people that read the article or heard the commentary on the radio think I'm a heretic.
The pre-tribulation rapture is not an essential doctrine, but you're a heretic if you don't believe it.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, if you go back and you research the history of where this doctrine came from, it is very recent. and the church didn't believe it for probably about 1700 years. So
it's not in the pronunciation Bible. Now, listen, right. If you want to believe it, that's okay. That's okay, see? But Rob has the right not to believe it. He has the right not to believe it. And it doesn't make him a heretic if he doesn't believe it.
I believe the Lord's coming back. If you want to call it a rapture, you can call it a rapture, but it's going to be on the last day. There isn't a secret, you know, people are going to disappear and their clothes are going to fall to the floor, and we've been lied to on that. But people believe it because 90% of the evangelical pastors are preaching that now. It's all they know.
Thanks, Rob. We just made half of our crowd mad.
Hey, but see, Dave, the church spends too much time on non-salvation issues.
They do.
Let all this divide us for no reason. It's fighting about, is the sky blue or is it lavender?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no reason to fight about this. It is stupid.
With being ignorant, we've got to stay with focus on Christ. That's it, you know.
If there's a pre-tribulation rapture, I'm on the first busload out. That's all I know. And I'm going to work like there isn't one. And I'm going to fight like there isn't one. If there is one, I'm going to make it out of here. I'll be on the bus beside you. Let's quit fighting about right? Let's quit fighting about it.
It just goes to show you how successful that Left Behind series was. Because, yes, you know, back when I was when I was reading the Bible, back when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, I didn't know about a pre-trib rapture. That didn't come about until the mid-70s that I know of. So,
Coach, this whole idea is just simply of the devil to divide us from our work. It's a denomination of believers in God returning. It's simply a denomination, and now you got something else to fight over.
Well, Mark, it's like the same thing. We could fight over once saved, always saved, couldn't we? Isn't that something else we fight over?
I was watching, right?
It's crazy.
I was watching a guy this week, and his name is Justin Peters, and he makes such a strong case of that. He goes through the list, starting with Joel Osteen and just Creflo Dollar, all those fools, and he shows instances of how they've been caught. You know, all of the whole cabal. And that cabal started about 1970 when they started, you know, I'll go talk at your church if you come and talk at mine. And it was all just a big ruse.
Can you guys imagine the power? Can you imagine the power? I'm not being critical. I am, but I'm not on purpose. All right. Can you imagine the power of Joel Osteen's followers, congregation, whatever you want to call them, unleashed against abortion? Can you imagine the power of Franklin Graham's followers unleashed against abortion? Can you imagine the power of T.D. Jakes's following unleashed against abortion? Can we even imagine this? And instead, we sit dutifully in the pew and listen to these guys spew nonsense.
He wouldn't even health and wealth. Amen. Joel Osteen wouldn't even let flooded cars park in his basement. Much less go out to the field and do anything. It's what, 7,000 people that could have helped out? And he didn't, in Houston?
What if Joel Osteen, I'm not picking on Joel Osteen, he's just got a big name, Rick Warren, pick whoever you want to. What if Rick Warren, I think he's in Anaheim or someplace, isn't he out there? What if Rick Warren went to all of his network of churches and said, listen, folks, we are stopping church, no more church till abortion ends. And we expect all of you to be at your local abortion clinic next Sunday. That's where we're going to have church. Can you imagine? How long would abortion stay legal? Right? Same thing could happen with homosexuality. I got to show you something here. Pull up Kim Davis. You all remember her, don't you? Kim Davis. This is amazing. This went under the radar. Look at August 23rd. What is today? Well, that's 3 days ago. County clerk was jailed by activist judge over same-sex marriage. She, Kim Davis, wins an appeal in court. Now, scroll down. I'm not going to read it all to you. I'm going to let you read it, but I'm going to explain to you. Here's what happened, folks. And this is what's happened to us over and over and over. She just won in court, okay? She just won in court. Here's, in a nutshell, what happened. Judge David Bunning ordered her to jail after she wouldn't marry homos. You remember that? Y'all remember that, don't? By the way, we went down there. We let her rally down there. I can show you the video that we did that. And you know what? You know what just happened? David Bunning, Judge Bunning, overstepped his bounds. That's what the court just ruled. The federal judge had no business sticking his nose in what was going on in that little county there in Grayson, Kentucky. Had no business sticking his nose in it. Why? Because it had not gone up the legal chain. It had not. They didn't even know county-wise what the law was. They didn't even know district-wise what the law was. They didn't even know statewide what the law was. And some judge sticks his nose in it and throws her in jail. And the court just said, he's wrong, man. He got no right to do that. Ordered $231,000 that she had to pay to the other side's attorneys. And the court ruling just came down and said, sorry, dude. You got no business sticking your nose in there, Judge Bunning. They ought to throw him in jail. Miss prison of treason. That's the kind of stuff we have to start doing. Scroll on down there a little bit. Go down there a little bit. You know what they found out? They found out, as we all know, that those couples that went down to get married by Kim Davis, they weren't even from Kentucky, as far as I know, and they bypassed a lot of different courts just to go get her. And the court ruled that's exactly what they did, and they got no right to do it. They stepped over a lot of different places they could have gotten married. They didn't do it. They went specifically to her because they wanted to attack her Christian beliefs. Oh, my. In Emerald versus Davis, court agreed Bunning and that Davis in her official capacity had sovereign immunity because she acted for the state, not the county. But the Liberty Council said there's no final ruling on whether Davis is liable for the damage. The court noted that this case is very early stage and that no discovery has been conducted. The legal team said Davis will continue to argue that she's not liable for damages because she was entitled to a religious accommodation from Governor Matt Bevin. Yes, sir! She also contends her actions did not violate clearly established rights. The Supreme Court can strike down a law, but not rewrite it, said Liberty Council. As the then president of the Kentucky Senate argued in an amicus brief, the law of the Commonwealth on marriage were shredded by the Supreme Court's ruling, and the legislature had to enact new legislation. The duties of a clerk in the area of marriage is governed in every aspect by the laws of the state of Kentucky, the Commonwealth. The Court of Appeals ruled that the Commonwealth of Kentucky is liable for attorney fees in the Miller case, not Rowan County and not Kim Davis. And even though the court ruled in the Emerald case that Kim Davis has no qualified immunity as an individual, the court also noted that this does not end the case because no discovery on this issue has yet been conducted. Regarding Kim Davis, this is not over, said her attorney. Kim Davis sought a religious accommodation today. Every Kentucky clerk benefits from her efforts, thanks to Governor Bevin and the entire General Assembly. And I believe Kim Davis will prevail on the individual damages claim. There you go, man. There you go. So Judge Bunning stuck his long nose in where it didn't belong. Comment.
What a great legal system we have.
Wow. What a great legal system.
When are we asking for the indictment of Bunning to continue the process to go ahead and put the wrongdoers behind bars? When are we going to do that?
Miss Prison, huh? Miss Prison.
When are we going to do it? Are we going to let it go and clap our hands and say it's done? Or are we going to fix the court?
Well, let's fix
it. Why do we even have to ask? This thing is so obvious. It's a clear and present danger. It's like CARE right now. They've infiltrated, they're taking control, and nobody's even saying anything. But this is very obvious. This judge is overstepped. Because
is he off the hook?
Of course he can't be. He can't be. Coach just told you. It's Miss Prison.
What are we going to do about it?
Well, let's put him on our target and go get him. I've been there before. I know where he lives. Let's go.
Miss Prison. Just add him to the Equal Justice Tour.
Not only that, now that this court ruling's come down, everybody knows he did it. Everyone knows he did it. Now, who's going to do something about it? Miss Prison of Treason. Nobody wants to do it.
I'll go, Coach. You tell me what to do and how to do it, and I'll go stand on the court steps. I just need to know where to go, and if some people want to go with me, let's go do it. Because I'm tired of letting these people off the hook after we get people out of jail. You've done a great job with that, Coach. What about Kent Hovind's judge? What about the Bundy's judge? You know, they're still out there living.
Amen.
Hey, Mark.
Go ahead.
You know, because of the way judges are appointed for good, you know, in perpetuity until good behavior or whatever and all that, there are really no provisions within the U.S. Constitution or most state constitutions. The ones I've read, I've never read a provision for it, for removing a judge from office other than impeachment. Now that's, you know, you ask, what are we going to do about it? You start an impeachment movement within the state of where the judge is a judge.
Amen.
And you have the people start pressuring their representatives to impeach that judge.
How about pressuring them to quit?
Oh well, yeah. You call for the resignation and everything in your resolution for impeachment, but your resolution for impeachment puts the obligation on the legislators in the state to impeach. You know, impeachment has been used against judges way, way more times than it's been used against any other occupation in government.
And we got so much we got to learn. Listen, I'm running out of time. Jared, pull up the thing that says courage, because this is where we are, boys and girls. We're not going to get by it. And I got so much more stuff I wanted to share this morning.
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Serge.
We need to go.
It's Jack.
We need to go.
Go, Serge.
We need to go to.
Serge, then Jack.
We need to go to all these judges' homes and start knocking on their doors and getting them out.
Amen. Well, of course, amen, Serge. I'm with you.
That's against the law, boys. You can't go to a judge's house. You know that? You know that? The judge can come to mine. The judge can go to the FBI to come in and raid mine, but you can't even go to his house. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, how about just standing in front of their houses and protesting in front of their houses? They're all guilty.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
Unbelievable.
Against law, federal offense.
Nope.
Yep, I did it. I know. Trust me. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay.
That sounds like unequal protection.
Unequal justice. That's right.
Form a have a presentment. You take your presentment and you use it to file a lien against the judge. They will say, oh, it has no effect. But they all know when they go to sell their property, it will have an effect. So you can have a common law grand jury. You get together. You do it all legally with proper rules and procedures. And you have an indictment and a presentment. And then you have a trial. And you
okay, so Jack, you are now chairman of that committee. Let's find some guys that can do that. You got some study
in your town or in your county. It can't be a bunch of us from all different places. It's got to be a local, cohesive organization. And you can do it. They did it to one of the judges here in Maine years ago. And everybody said, well, doesn't have any effect. Nothing happened. But the estate was so pissed off when they couldn't sell the property years later.
All right. Jack, you're in charge of that committee. I want to get this in. We're about done here. Jared, look, this article's from National Review written by David French, a Republican if he can keep it, or why victimhood and fear won't preserve liberty. Okay. But I want to just go down, Connor, scroll down quite a bit because I want this. It's a somewhat long article. It's well worth the read, but I want to show you something here. He talks about some different cases and mobs and all that kind of stuff. Go on down more, Connor, because I just want to read the last closing couple paragraphs here. On the, okay, hang on, right there. On down. Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. No, and I'm still reading. Going down a little bit more. Okay, here we go. Start right here. Stop. Again, we skipped the beginning, but I want to finish up just with this. He said, I got a great ideas, right? Up until you come to the rather elementary realization, those powerful new state instruments would be turned on your allies with a vengeance. Okay, here's what he says. I got a better idea. Build on the bravery of past generations so that the generation doesn't, so that the next generation doesn't have to bear the same risks. As I said before, a very few brave students shredded the campus speech code regimen, a regime that looked like a legal and cultural juggernaut a few years ago. He's talking about something he wrote about. Now there's a need for a few more brave students, a few more brave Americans to stand with those people who face unjustified and illiberal shame campaigns to plant your flag beside theirs. What I'm going to say next doesn't apply to Shapiro. He's the attorney above. He stood up far more than most. He did more at Georgia Tech than most. And again, I appreciate his thoughtful response, but it applies in spades to plenty of people on the modern right. Okay, here we go. This is what he's saying to those most people. You're snowflakes. You really are. Past generations pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to the cause of this great nation. The apostles endured torture and death for the much greater cause of the gospel. What I hear constantly around the country is far, far less resolve. The faith that spread in the face of beatings often withers for fear of tweetings. Don't touch my fortune. Don't touch my honor. Look, we're human. It's understandable that we want the defense of our values to be relatively easy. We want the blowback to be manageable. And above all, we don't want to risk anything truly precious. Thank God that Ruth and Ort and the many other students who stood alone did not give up into that fear. And don't think for a moment that they risk less than you. And don't think for a moment that their road was easier than yours. Never in my life have I seen victimhood, such victimhood on the right. Never in my life have I seen conservatives more eager to rationalize passivity and seek the aid of politicians to make their lives easier. They look to politicians, even incompetent, depraved politicians, cry out, protect us! Protect you? You have the Constitution. Use it! You have non-discrimination laws. Use them, Christians. You have the power of your voice. Use that. Otherwise, your liberty will start to slide away. Cultural changes will eventually lead to legal change. And your grandkids, Randy, will one day ask what happened to our free nation. Your answer? Well, dear, defending liberty was hard. So I chose not to do it. And those damn politicians failed us. Is that a good answer? No. We'll prepare to give it, well, prepare to give it away. That's the price of life that is ruled by the few. Equal justice tour. Equal justice for all. Folks, listen, I'm sorry I was kind of all over the place today, but I'm not really all over the place. I'm trying to show you that lawlessness is abounding in the church, in the government. Lawlessness is abounding.
Can Amen. I Amen.
Pastors cover pastors. Bishops cover bishops. Government officials cover government officials. And the rest of us just run around like sheep begging evil men to do good. It ain't going to work, baby. It ain't going to work.
Be Protestants. Oh, Protestants. What is that? Yeah. How's that work?
That's right. Well, brother, if we're going to save this great Randy, if we're going to save this great nation, some of us are going to have to come out of hiding, stop being so afraid, and stand up and fight for what we know to be right. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.